You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Yo, what's happening? Welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, July the 20th of July on Wednesday.
Hi.
How's it going?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Well, they can't respond, so I'd be... How's it going? And then we just sit here for 20 minutes in dead silence.
Right.
Wouldn't be very exciting. You're good. You said, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Good.
Spent a good chunk of time at an outdoor pool yesterday.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
And contrary to popular opinion, ice does not form on outdoor pools in Canada in the month of July. That's not true. It's an ugly rumor.
No. In fact, we all got a little too much sun.
Yes, I was hiding in the shade, actually, for part of the time.
But it's very quickly turning into a nice tan.
It is.
My tan is getting better.
It is.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably about a 6 now.
Wow. On a scale of 1 to 10.
Right.
Nice.
Right.
So, are you... How's summer going for you? Are you tired of... Oh, well, you've been working part-time a lot.
I've been working all the time.
This has been the strangest summer... Well, this has been a really unique summer for us because I have not been working that much while I was ill.
Yep.
And doing totally different things now. Totally different things than I've ever done before in my working life.
True enough.
Which is all good. And you are have been working part-time, but almost full-time hours, really.
Some weeks, yep.
Which, thank you. And yep. That's done tomorrow. Your last shift is this Thursday, and you're done.
Wednesday.
And then we are away. Speaking of that, while we have the opportunity, we will not have a show next week. We're taking a bit of a summer holiday, short summer holiday, but we will be back the week after. So that's the first Wednesday in August, I guess.
Right.
We'll be back. No. Yes. First Wednesday in August? Yes. First Wednesday in August, we'll be back.
Yes.
But next week, we will not have a show, so... We'll be thinking of you as you upgrade from a 6 and beyond in your 10.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so what all is going on? Your day home starts up next week.
Yep.
So you're going
from starting that.
Starting that up again. And you have two kids that we're starting with, and we may get more. We'll just see how that goes.
Yep.
And, yeah, I'm in the middle of doing a bunch of stuff, working on some projects, some contract things that I'm doing, and, yeah, it's crazy. Crazy.
But it's nice and different.
It is nice and different, indeed. And we've been, the other thing, too, is we've been going to outdoor pools with the kids a lot. There's a really nice spray park about 10 minutes from our house, so we've been having fun there, just kind of cut them loose and let them have a good time. They both have YMCA memberships for their swimming, so we drop them off. I have been dropping them off to go swimming.
Yep.
Here and there, so that's been
good. It's been good for them. They're getting a little more independent.
Totally. And I discovered the magic that is Lego Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
What a great game that is. I had a gift card for Best Buy, so I used that, and I also got them to price match somebody else that had it on sale. I think it was Toys R Us. It cost me $9. $9. Awesome. Great game. And I think Michael Staley and I were talking at one point, probably about a year or so ago. We were going, okay, they've done Traveler's Tales, has done Batman, Star Wars, all these other ones, Harry Potter. What could be cool? We were saying pirates would be cool. And here it is.
Yep.
Very good. And speaking of pirates, we still haven't seen On Stranger Tides.
No. And we haven't seen the new Harry Potter movie yet.
Harry Potter's is tougher because we know it's a scary one, and
and the kids aren't allowed to see the movies till they've read the books.
This is their mother's rule. And Emily said, well, I'm working on the second one. And I said, I don't want to hear working on, I want to hear just finish the last chapter. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, right.
But so yeah, we did that.
Yes,
yeah,
so we have to try and fit that one in somewhere. I don't know how that's gonna happen.
Well, and Transformers Dark of the Moon, I don't think you're that interested in seeing that, but the kids are quite interested, and so am I.
Yeah, I would probably see it.
Yeah, so we've got some summer.
Too many movies and not enough time or money.
Yeah, and it's this time of year, right? It's all the good stuff. All the good stuff, or lots of the good stuff anyway. So there you go.
And speaking of summer movies, we couldn't find the site again. that talked about the summer movie reviews.
Oh, yeah. It really weird. The we're talking about... we've been talking about summer movies for the past several weeks, and I had bookmarked the site that we were working off of, and it's gone.
I wonder if... we never did give it credit. Where was it? I should have said where it was from or what it was.
I think it was... I don't know if it's pronounced Yugo, UGO.com. It's an entertainment movie TV kind of site. We were working from their list, and it was great. It was the top 50, and we had whittled down to the last chunk, and then, seriously, I have gone to their site. I have looked through my history cache and found the URL and typed it in exactly as it comes up, and nothing.
It's just gone.
Yeah, it's just a way.
So, but you did manage to find the top 10.
Yeah, I found a top 10 on Hollywood.com. So we'll have a look at this. Of course, summer movie season. Everybody's waiting for the next blockbuster. We were just talking about that. And kids want, you know, as we did as children, or as I did as a child, movies like E.T., Star Wars really became landmarks in my childhood. Really events that stick out movie-wise in my childhood. So it's nice for kids to have that kind of a thing. You know, kids of our generation, of this current generation, will have the Harry Potter films, which is pretty huge because they're likely to be the biggest franchise of history, probably, or one of the most notable ones. And
Transformers.
Yeah, Transformers, Spider-Man. So there's been a lot of good things. And reboots galore, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which you love. Yep. So on this people's list, here are the 10 biggest, most definitive summer blockbusters of all time. Number 10, counting down, Jaws.
Which we already listed on the other list.
Did we? Mm-hmm. And so this is the one that kind of started it all. Before Jaws movies came out in the summer, they disappeared at the end of the summer, that kind of thing, and didn't necessarily make a big impact. Jaws and Star Wars were kind of the two biggest movies that made the summer blockbuster phenomenon take place and continue on from there. So we talked a bit about Jaws before, and it kind of scared people out of the water. So I guess Super 8 is scaring people off of trains. I don't know. Now, Transformers also makes this top 10 list.
Number nine.
And so that would be the original film. And Connor and Emily and I just watched it again the other night. I had it on HD DVD, if anybody remembers what that was, ages ago. And then when I sold my HD player, I sold it as part of that collection. And I'm cheap. So I finally found Transformers on Blu-ray for a really cheap price. So I grabbed it because I wanted it for sure. So... still a great movie. It's a lot of fun. It's a Michael Bay movie. Either you love him or you hate him. So, very good film. And the kids took them all of 10 seconds to get right back into it. Batman was in the late 80s, and that was the first big screen adaptation, because I won't acknowledge the Adam West film. As with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson in it, and I was pretty impressed. I thought, you know, this is certainly my favorite superhero character brought to life for the first time on the big screen, and I loved it. A-list characters, great costumes, great director, great composer. It was just a great film all around. There's a lot of repeats on here. Forrest Gump at number 7 on this list, and we talked about Forrest Gump I think last week. E.T. makes the top 10, which is no big surprise. And this is an interesting tidbit. The film made so much money for Reese's Pieces that the Mars company has forever kicked themselves for not providing M&M's instead, because M&M's has been and continues to be their biggest brand in that kind of arena, of those little bite-sized things. So they're kind of wishing it had been M&M's. Is Reese's Pieces, I don't know, are they even still around? Probably.
I like them.
Yeah, they are good. Of course, Star Wars, the original. And for people of my generation, it's just referred to as Star Wars. We don't say A New Hope. We don't say Star Wars Episode 4. It's Star Wars. This, my friends, is Star Wars. And
number 5.
Yeah. So two sequels, three prequels, an animated film, animated TV series, more merchandising than you can count. Star Wars. Jurassic Park, no big surprise. And remember, Jurassic Park coming out on Blu-ray this year. You know, by the time Jurassic Park came out in the 90s, Spielberg had already created more blockbusters than most on his own than most studios could ever achieve with many, many filmmakers. So he became the king. Of course, Jurassic Park was also notable for having the dinosaur effects and making dinosaurs actually seem real and believable and all of that jazz.
Also, all of these have already been mentioned.
Have they?
Yep.
Jurassic Park 2?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just keep going. Independence Day?
Maybe?
So Independence Day with Mr. Will Smith. It's still a good film. It's certainly a summer blockbuster. It's
at number 3, too.
Yeah. Terminator 2, number 2. First movie I ever saw on Laserdisc back in the day and sold me on that HD format. And speaking of Schwarzenegger, he is lining up a film project, sooner than later, so we might even see that next year, I suppose. So on this list, Terminator 2 Judgment Day is number 2. Number 1 is Spider-Man. Interesting. They say the movie had something for everybody. I would agree with that. Comic book fans, girls got the romance, guys got the nerd turned into a superhero. I could be Peter Parker if only the dang radioactive spider would bite me. All that kind of jazz. It had a poignant story. It taught youngsters a valuable lesson about responsibility and crafted what these folks, anyway, feel was the most tragic love story since Titanic. So there you go. There's some more summer blockbuster fodder for you. If you haven't, you've probably seen all of those movies, but maybe you haven't. So there you go. I don't know if this falls under Couch Entertainment News. Does it?
Yep.
Couch Entertainment News. So the box office. Go.
All right.
I'm dominating. Time for you to talk.
Last week at the box office, what was new out? Nothing came out new. Was that new?
Yep. Harry Potter, brand new.
Oh, okay. Right, first week out. Okay, and so was Winnie the Pooh, apparently.
Yeah.
Yay, Winnie the Pooh. So what? Pooh had a $30 budget? That can't be right.
Where? No, that's a million, probably.
Oh, I don't know how that works. Okay.
Let me look.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, millions. Millions, dude.
Millions, yeah. Okay. I'm thinking, seriously?
$30 budget. Did it all on an Etch-A-Sketch. And then crayons on top.
All right. Okay. So number one was Harry Potter. No big surprise there.
Nope.
Almost $200 million in one weekend. $170.
Okay, and let me just...
that's crazy.
I have an article on my iPad, so we might as well talk about this as we're at it. Speaking of Harry Potter, you know, obviously the film is ranking very highly, both critically and fan reaction. And what some of the actors have even been quoted as saying is, what it all comes down to is, this is the film that all the other films were building up to, and it delivers on all fronts. So, as of Saturday night, Sunday morning, this past weekend, President of Domestic Distribution for Warner, Dan Feldman, gushed about all the records being set. He said, these numbers are amazing. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 flew to 92.1 million in the U.S. and Canada on Friday. Insane. And that included record-setting $43.5 million midnight showings on Thursday, and $44.2 million Saturday, and an estimated $33.6 million Sunday, helped by the higher 3D ticket prices. You always pay that extra. Friday crushed the record for best single-day box office and best Friday box office. But the Wizards didn't break the Saturday record of $51.3 million set by 2D-only Spider-Man 3 on its second day of release, so that record still holds. However, Harry Potter's franchise finale definitely shattered the biggest three-day weekend ever, with $168.5 million to beat the other gold standard 2D-only Dark Knight's $158.4 million. And it just keeps going and going and going. And the movie only came out on Friday.
The apparently, if you see the 3D version,
yep,
you get little Harry Potter
3D glasses. I read about that, but mm-hmm. I wonder if that's all over the place or just a opening night kind of a thing. Or
I don't know.
Who knows?
That I don't know.
So overseas, the franchise finale so far has grossed $307 million, with 34 million admissions from over 20,000 screens in 59 countries. That's the biggest international opening weekend of all time, ahead of $260.4 million Pirates of the Caribbean 4, which is a comparison of 3D film to a 3D film. So that's equivalent. So approximately 45% of the total screen count that the film's release was 3D and accounted for about 61% of the box office. So it's broken records in the UK, Australia. All markets have been performing exceedingly well, including Germany, France, and Japan. Globally, it also broke the IMAX opening weekend record with a worldwide gross of $23.5 million, which sets a new record in North America with $15.5 million of that there. So this is a worldwide total of $475.5 million, people.
That is just crazy.
And this was since Friday. And this was on Saturday, this update. Crazy. So Feldman also said, these numbers are amazing, but they're only part of the story. It's impossible to quantify how thrilled and grateful we all are that both critics and audiences, especially loyal Harry Potter fans, continue to support the film. This is the culmination of an extraordinary decade and a reflection of the hard work and dedication of many, many people on both sides of the camera, beginning with the brilliant J.K. Rowling, as well as producer David Heyman. We applaud them all. So it has been a crazy blockbuster success summer.
It really has.
Super 8, Transformers Dark of the Moon. We're just seeing huge numbers.
And the Pirates 4.
Yes, exactly.
And so. Bridesmaids. Still at number 11.
Yeah.
But getting back to the top ones. So, of course, Harry Potter was one. Number two was Transformers Dark of the Moon in its third week.
And it's only dropped... I mean, it's dropped by 54.7%, but that's still holding pretty well for, you know, wow.
Lots of people are going to movies.
Yeah.
Horrible...
Still, which is a good sign.
Yes. Horrible Bosses is at number three. I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see that. I've heard it's really good.
Cool.
I've heard Jennifer Aniston pulls off a performance like you've never seen her before. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
This would be interesting.
Cool.
Number four is Zookeeper. I don't even know what that is.
Kevin James is a zookeeper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do I want to see it? Yeah.
It's second week out and it's still at number four. That's a pretty good sign.
Yeah.
Cars 2 at number five in its fourth week. And I guess all these numbers and all these... This data is probably just North America.
Yeah.
Not worldwide.
No.
Winnie the Pooh in its first weekend, in at number six.
There we go.
Go Winnie.
There was poo all over theater screens everywhere.
Exactly. Bad Teacher is at number seven.
Bad Teacher and Horrible Bosses. What does that say about us?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Larry Crown at number eight. And it's in its third week. So it's doing good, though.
Yeah.
What
else?
Super 8 is at number 9, so still in this top 10 in its 6th week. Not surprising.
Crazy.
Super 8's a great movie. Midnight in Paris rounds out the top 10 in North America in its 9th week, and I just don't know what that is either. Do you?
No, I don't really either. And I think we said that last time. I have no idea what that is.
I guess we should have looked into that, huh?
I guess we should get...
Do some homework, maybe?
Get Footsworth to work on a little more research for us.
Yeah. And then, like I said, Bridesmaids at number 11, still in its 10th week. I find that surprising-ish, but apparently it's a good movie.
Well, I hear a couple people out there like Star Wars, me included. So this is pretty cool. If you're a big Star Wars fan, if you're an HD fan, you're obviously well aware that the film, the entire saga, is coming out on Blu-ray for the first time this September. Well, this is very cool. As part of their presence at Comic-Con this year, Lucasfilm are releasing a special iPad app, a new app for that's going to include some samples, some art, some other things. That's being released on July 20th, which is today, Wednesday, or the 19th if you have a time machine like we do. So super cool. If you want to whet your appetite and get something to tide you over a little bit, I'm assuming it's a free app as well. So it'll be available for, yes, free download. It will include a sneak peek at 40-plus hours of bonus footage in the Blu-ray collection. It's available for all iDevices, including iPad and iPhone. Sampling of the bonus features, never-before-seen content, props, photos, that kind of stuff. So a teaser to get your wallet prepared for September. So will I be downloading it? Yes. Will I talk about it on our next show? Probably. So if you're a Star Wars fan, just a quick heads up. I just happened to see this article about an hour ago and went, okay, must have. So there you go. That's super cool. What else is going on? Happy birthday to Disneyland.
Oh, right.
So I don't know. You go ahead and talk about that.
Okay. Well, Disneyland opened to the public on July 18th, 1955. So that was Monday.
56 years old.
Yes.
And I'm sure we've said this once since we started the show in 2007, but very, very cool thing from my family. My dad and my aunt went to Disneyland with their folks in 55, not too long after the park opened. So super cool. And there's some photos of them there, and very neat. Very neat.
And I know, I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this in the past, but just to me, it's so amazing that those same rides that opened 56 years ago,
yep,
a lot of them are still there, and they're in amazing shape.
And huge draws still, right?
And amazing shape.
Yep.
Like, I just can't believe the amount of, they must do just so much
maintenance,
yeah, and stuff.
Well, when they steam clean the streets every night.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're,
but you know what? But in this, especially in this day and age of everything's disposable,
yeah,
nobody keeps anything. You, yeah, can't have a TV doesn't last for 6 months anymore.
Yeah.
You used to be able to buy a TV that would last you till you died, and,
yeah,
now they last for however long, and either they don't work anymore, or if they need a part, there's no parts for them anymore, or, like, it's just, so to think that the rides that were there are the same rides that are still there,
yeah,
and they're still working.
Yeah.
And I just find that so weird.
Maintained, upgraded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on opening day, Disneyland had only 20 attractions in operation, and now there are how many? Doesn't even say.
I don't even know what the number would be.
Why do they say the first number and not the current number?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
But anyway, it's lots. Lots of rides and lots of fun.
Yeah.
So happy birthday, Disney.
Yes. Land.
Land.
In California.
Right.
I said to, saying to our kids the other day, because we're obviously talking about going back every 2 years is kind of our schedule that we've established. But I was saying to them, and they were a little bit sad by this, that the cost of an annual pass is only slightly more than we pay when we go for our 5-day park hopper deals when we go down there every 2 years. So if we were able, I mean, the killer for us is obviously hotel and flight. So if that was more cost effective for us, or it could become more cost effective, then if we could go twice a year, I would just buy an annual pass.
Right.
But I don't foresee us being able to go twice a year anytime soon. It just doesn't seem to work, so.
No. And the good people of this house may want to experience other places in the world besides Disneyland.
Not me. Not me. Have fun. Bye-bye.
So, yeah.
Cool.
I guess we have a sort of a flick swap, too.
Yeah, we'll
go on with. Dude, what's the time at? Are we?
Yeah, we're doing all right. We, we got a lot of stuff to talk about still. So let's hop over from our entertainment news over to just this past Tuesday, Rango came out. That is, of course, a Johnny Depp movie, and animated, really good. First animated movie from ILM. So I sat down with Connor and Emily and talked about their impressions. It's weird. It's different. It's gorgeously animated.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, Michelle didn't see it. So I'm not going to go into... We won't go into too much detail on it around that, but here's our little chat with Connor and Emily about Rango. So I'm here with Connor and Emily. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. And this week we're going to talk about Rango.
Weird, creepy, and all of the above.
Okay, let's start with you then. Weird, creepy, and all of the above. What was it about it?
Well... Rango is
okay, don't tell the story.
Okay.
Just talk about your reaction to it. You
It was interesting. It was sort of weird.
Did it feel like it wasn't a kids' movie, or?
Sort of. Maybe more in the 11, 12 area.
Okay, well, we'll ask Emily about that, too. Did you like the characters?
The characters were okay. It was just a little, I don't know, different.
Was it too heavy for you? Too heavy, man? Too deep?
What do you mean?
Well, I think there was a lot more dialogue in it than you are maybe used to in an animated movie.
And it's Nickelodeon, which I'm a big fan of.
Yes, as soon as the Nickelodeon screen came up, Connor began to recite all their great shows, and then by the end of it he said, wow, that was not Nickelodeon.
At all.
So, did you like it, though? What did you think of it overall?
It was okay. Not the best movie I've ever seen.
Okay. Would you see it again? Are you interested in seeing it again?
No. I don't think so.
Not at all. You're done, hey? Once and you're out?
Yeah.
What would you rate it out of 10?
Maybe 5.
5 out of 10. Wow. Usually you rate stuff pretty high, so for you to say 5 out of 10 is low. And you wouldn't see it again?
No.
Would you recommend it to anyone?
If you are weird, creepy, and all of the above, then okay. Yes.
Rango is weird, creepy, and all of the above, and if you are weird, creepy, and all of the above, then it will be for you. Thank you for weighing in on that. Emily, what about you? What did you think of it overall?
I thought it was different. I've never seen a movie like that before.
And how is it different? What did you find that was different about it? Do you mean different compared to other animated movies you've seen?
Yeah, but it was pretty much the same as Fantastic Mr. Fox, because both movies are like really strange.
Strange, a little bit weird.
Yeah, and
Can you put your finger on what was weird about it? Can you, like, what did you find that was weird? When you watched it, what were you going, wow, that's weird. Whoa, that's weird. What really stood out to you as strange or different?
It, like, the parts where he's, like, it didn't really explain what he was doing all that good. It made me feel like, I don't know. It was just really different.
Did you feel like you got thrown into the middle of the story and didn't really know what was going on, or you didn't really have...
Yeah.
Because
he starts off somewhere, and then he ends up somewhere else all of a sudden, and it's kind of confusing. You're like, what's going on?
So you felt like you kind of... The story kind of progressed and you didn't know what was happening or why some things were happening, or...
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, Mommy and I will talk about what she didn't see it, but I'll talk a bit more about what I thought of it. I found Rango to be very, and you saying it was like Fantastic Mr. Fox is a good way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
For parents, it's heavy, which is, I think, what I said a minute ago to Connor. There's a lot of, a lot of monologuing kind of certainly on the part of Rango. It doesn't surprise, I mean, I knew this going in, but it doesn't surprise me at all that Rango was done by the same creative team that did Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End? No. What was the one with the crabs, the stone crabs?
World's End.
Was it World's End?
Yeah.
So it didn't surprise me at all that Gore Verbinski and Johnny Depp did Rango as well as Pirates at World's End, because the whole sequence with the stone crabs and Jack Sparrow, and that just had a very weird feeling to it, almost kind of out there, like a little trippy. And there's lots of parts in Rango that I felt the same way. I would almost say that Rango is more for adults than kids. I know, as strange as that may sound, but there are certainly tons of animated films that have been done that are more geared towards adults. But unlike something like Pixar, where there's an equal blend of content that could appeal to either kids or their parents. I found, you know, and it seemed like both of you kind of kept zoning in and out of Rango a little bit, like it didn't really work for you somehow. So You know, and that may be very well what it was, is that there was just a vibe to it that didn't really work for kids. I enjoyed it. I thought it was beautifully animated. Cool that it's ILM's first animated film project. So they've set the bar pretty high for themselves and also, you know, drawn attention to themselves in a new way by showing that they can do an animated feature that easily stands up to Pixar. So, and then, of course, Illumination is another group to be watching when they did Despicable Me, and I'm sure they have other projects on the go as well. So there's certainly a lot of quality 2D computer animation out there. You had your hand up.
I have something else to add. It wasn't that I didn't like it. I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually. I thought it was, like, adventure, and it was... He used to be a pet, and now he's out in the open, and he doesn't know how to deal with himself, and I found that very interesting.
Yeah.
It was just very different, a different kind of movie.
It was. You know, and I think Connor's not interested in seeing it again, but maybe you and I need to watch it again and just kind of get an idea of... Because I felt a little overwhelmed by it a little bit,
yeah.
I guess. It was like, huh? And I guess what happened there is that I was expecting something very different. So when I saw the movie, it was different, really different than I expected it would be. So
I was expecting it to be like a jungle, like with lizards and stuff,
yeah,
and not like
that's
so much as Western.
Too.
Oh, so the Western
kind
theme
of,
to it,
yeah,
threw you off a bit?
Yeah, it surprised me a lot.
Interesting.
And also the fact that he used to be a pet, that really confused me too. I'm like,
oh, did it?
He's a pet? What?
And no, he's not a pet, and he is quite intelligent and is having this crazy adventure in the Old West.
And he's faking everything that he says.
That's right, yeah. Rango is a big, it's a bit like Jack Sparrow. Rango's a bit of a storyteller, a web weaver, a not always truthful kind of guy.
A liar.
To get himself a liar, yeah. Oh, don't sugarcoat it, Dad, he says. So thank you, Connor and Emily, for talking about Rango, and we'll catch you next time we have a review to talk about. Bye.
See ya.
So as you can see, Connor really has no intention or interest in seeing it ever again. But Michelle, that'd be you. Emily and I... want to see it again because it wasn't what we were expecting in a big way, so we kind of want to go back to it and go, wait a minute, let's try that again. Not that we didn't like it, because we did, it just was so out of our expectations. It's heavy, as I said with Connor, but then it's just neat. There's so much more to it than your average animated movie. And ILM is clearly demonstrating that they are well up to the task of meeting Pixar pixel for pixel.
Because Rango wasn't it getting huge reviews?
Yeah, it's rated really highly on Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic. And also, there are many critics who are saying it's the top animated movie of this year. So
that's kind of crazy, considering you guys didn't even really like it that much.
Well... But as I say, Emily and I want to go back because we didn't dislike it. So,
right. Anyway. Cool.
So there's that.
I'll have to try and see it sometime.
And yeah, we did do... we were going to do a flick swap, but I guess we'll save it. That poor movie keeps getting bumped.
We just have too much to talk about, apparently.
Yeah. So, and we've got dogs to walk and pools to go to and stuff today. So anyway, everybody have a great week as always.
Yes.
Anything you want to add to that?
No, I'm good.
So have a great summer. As we mentioned, we'll be on holidays next week, so we won't be around, but we will be back the first Wednesday in August. So enjoy the end of July. Enjoy, if you are in Canada, you'll be building up to a long weekend before too long here. So everybody have a great week, and we'll, as always, catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.